Good morning, Tom.
What's up, guys? Good morning.
Jerry's back.
Morning.
I'm sure you're happy
about that.
Back from vacation.
Yes.
Signal the end of summer.
Oh, I know. It's sad.
Depressing.
Yeah. We'll be sitting stuck in traffic behind school buses any day now.
Hey, Tom, we were just discussing this. After the win over Tampa Bay, you said there was a number of things that needed corrected. Would Bill be upset if his quarterback stood up in front of the media and said, we were awesome and we did this well and we did that well and we did whatever he wanted to do against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Would Bill frown upon that?
Probably.
Yeah.
But I wasn't lying. So I think there's a lot to take out of these games, and we come in the following day and we sit there and we watch the film, and each of us individually kind of critique what we've done and what we need to do better. So I think in a game like that, it's so fun to be out there. It's the first action you get in 8 months, which is very different than what you're getting in practice.
Tom, what's the worst thing you did as a football player in that game that maybe we didn't even notice or know about?
I think decision making is obviously right at the top, and I've been through the game a few times, and it's just the speed of the decision making.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's what allows a quarterback to be very efficient, very sound. Is not only fundamentals, but the speed of the decision making. And it's hard for you guys to understand and watch the game on TV and understand why the quarterback does what he does, why I threw to a particular place, when I was supposed to throw the ball, and when I actually did throw the ball. And you can get away with it at times, but I just know from obviously how I felt during the game to how I evaluated myself after the game to watching the film that, decision making is something that I really want to focus on this week in practice because it's not where it needs to be.
Well, you've had other great seasons. Obviously, you won Super Bowls. You went 18-0 and ended up 18-1. But does it feel better, worse, or somewhere in between than other good seasons right now, Tom?
I mean, it's so hard to tell. I mean, we haven't even had the full team out there for a practice yet. I mean, we don't even know what the team's going to be like. So it's just been a crazy year with the lockout, with moving on from the lockout, with the practices, with the abbreviated practice schedule, missing the first preseason game. I think we're everyone's trying to figure out where they stand within where the competition lies. So when we get to competition, whether it was Jacksonville or Tampa, we get a pretty good indication of where we're at and where we need to get to. So there's so many new faces. There's different things we're doing offensively, and I think it's going to take a while for us to figure out the kind of team that we're going to be, the way and the style that we're going to win games this year.
Do you spend any time comparing yourself to the competition at this point? I know you will in a few weeks, but are you looking at the Dolphins? Are you looking at the Jets? Are you saying, how do we stack up? How are we going to do in the division? And how are we going to compete in the regular season?
I mean, we know our competition very well, and the three teams in our division in particular. If you don't win your division, you're gonna have a tough road ahead. So, the first goal at the beginning of every year is we have to win our division. You have to understand, these are the teams that we're facing. These are the things that present problems. So, I think everything at this time of year is really short-term focused. There's studies that you do in the off season of the teams that you're going to play, so you can get a jump on those teams. It's nice opening up against a division opponent the first weekend of the year. Going to Miami is always a tough place for us to play. And at the same time, we're pretty far from that game at this point, and we still have probably 10, 11, 12 practices, before we even take the field that night, which, we need to make those good practices because, like I said, judging from where we're at the other night, there's a lot of things that we need to improve on so we're ready for that opening night.
Tom, you've told us on a number of occasions that no matter how lopsided the win is in the Patriots' favor, Bill always finds some coachable moments when the film is broken down the next day, pointing out mistakes the players have made, whether it's the quarterback or the defense. Does Bill ever point out mistakes he has made in front of the team? Does he ever say, I could have done this better?
He does, and I think that's why he has the credibility with the team, because, you know, he'll say, guys, I messed this thing up, and you know, I messed more things up than any of you guys do. So, you know, it's the same way for coaching. I mean, as you know, the coaches haven't coached in 8 months either. So there's a game day operation, there's decision making that comes from a coach's standpoint that they're trying to work on things, the players are working on things. That's why it's hard to really gauge a preseason game, because are you selling out to win?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, on each individual player selling out to win, you know, over the course of the week, are you selling out in your preparation? No, I mean, a lot of the practice time that we spend is against the Patriots defense, so we haven't spent a lot of time on the Jacksonville defense, the Tampa defense, and game planning for those defenses, because a lot of the time over the course of the week is spent preparing against our own defense, because it's very competitive out there, and that's the way training camp is. You know, we get the scouting report, you know, 2 days before the game to say, okay, this is the team we're playing. Do you know some of the things that you're doing? So you're not really overly prepared like you would be during the regular season, you know, but at the same time, you're in a very competitive mode. And, you know, I think our team this year has been very competitive in practice. It's been really fun to be out there playing against our defense, because our defense is, you know, really doing some different things as well. And for our offense, well, competing against our own defense has been a real, I think, advantage for our team this year because of, you know, the quality of, you know, players that they have over there.
Tom, Bill pointing out technical coaching mistakes that he may have made, X's and O's aside, would he ever stand up in front of the team, and I know he wouldn't do it in front of the media, and say it was a mistake to have Danny Woodhead out there on punt coverage with 7 minutes to go in that football game?
No, I mean, I think he'd have to answer that. I don't think that that's, you know, he's never worried about injuries to players for preseason games. I mean, there was a few years ago where we played in Cincinnati, mm-hmm. and he put the first stringers in, and, you know, we got our butt kicked in the first quarter, and the first stringers were playing in the fourth quarter. You know, Rodney Harrison was out there. You know, Bruce Key was out there in the fourth quarter of the first preseason game. You know, and you're saying, oh, is that risk and injury? Well, you know, he feels like he's doing what he needs to do to prepare us for the season. So, you know, no one really second-guesses coach at this point. I mean, no one, you know, he has a lot of respect within our team, and for good reason, because, you know, he's trying to get us better. He's trying to get us prepared. And, you know, it sucks. Those injuries for, you know, Woody or anybody that you lose in really a game that doesn't count toward the standing is, you know, I mean, that's a tough loss. But at the same time, you know, he's trying to, at the overall picture of what he's trying to do is prepare us all for, you know, our opening game.
Hey, you were talking about making quicker decisions and more efficient decisions, and that's what you wanted to work on this week. Clearly, Josh Freeman was making much more instantaneous decisions than you were. The ball be snapped, and he was running for his life from that defense.
Yeah, they were putting a lot of pressure on the quarterback, and when you put pressure on the quarterback, that's number one in the book. I mean, anytime you talk to a defensive coach at the beginning of the week, you know, and they say, well, we got to get after the quarterback. And it was really fun to see from our sideline the guys, the pass rushers. You know, what really set it up was, you know, we had some stops on defense, some negative runs, you know, that we forced them into, which got them into long yardage passing situations. And, you know, those guys were really, you know, teeing off on the quarterback. So, and I love to see that from another quarterback's perspective, to stand on the sidelines and watch them attack the quarterback, force them into quick decisions, force them into throws, you know, that you don't want to make and you have to make because you don't have time to really see the coverages. That's good for any defensive football team.
Hey, Tom, after Thursday's blowout, an anonymous NFC executive told the Globe, quote, Belichick is through screwing around. What we saw tonight, if that's what they continue to go with in the season, is a complete departure from what we saw last season. They're not reacting, they're dictating. Now, I know that's probably more relevant to the defense, but does that make sense to you? Is Belichick through screwing around?
I mean, he's one of the most consistent people I've ever been around in my life. I mean, and playing for him for going on my 12th year, he is a very, what you see from him on a daily basis is you're always getting the same thing, win, lose, or draw. When you win, he says, you know, It's great we won. There's no doubt about it. It's tough to win in this league. These are all the things that we did well. This is what we need to continue to do well, and these are the things that we need to improve on. When we lose, he'll say, look, there's some things that we did well. We obviously didn't do them well enough to win, but these are the things we needed to do to get better. So he doesn't ride the wave, and he doesn't come in one day and you go, God, where's she coming from here? And the next day, he's, you know, overjoyed with enthusiasm. Hey, yeah, you guys got it all figured out. And the next day, oh, you guys are terrible. No, I mean, he's pretty consistent. So there's no difference that I've seen in his coaching or his coaching style. I mean, he works us hard. He has high expectations for us. He wants us to go out there and play up to our capabilities. And when we don't, he doesn't settle for anything less than what he thinks is our best. And I think sometimes it's challenging for veteran players, for young players, to say, God, coach, you know, we're trying hard. We're out there every day. But, look, if we're not performing, then that's what he thinks. And our issues, that we have as a team continue to show themselves on a daily basis, on a consistent basis. He takes that to heart. He says, obviously, I'm not doing a good job coaching you guys. These are things that I think we need to do so we can be a better football team.
All right, the obligatory Ocho Cinco question. How's he coming along, Tom?
He's I think that every day that we're out there together, the two of us working, and he working with Dion and Wes, it's better every day. I mean, we're like I said, we're very much an abbreviated schedule this year with practices, with lack of OTAs. Every team's at the same point, and every team that has new players, I'm sure it's more challenging this year than it's been in the past. And our offense, as I said before, for receivers, is a challenging offense. But, he's a very competitive person, and he wants to, the conversations that I have with him, he wants to be out there learning, and he wants to compete. He wants to understand the nuances of what we're doing, and every single day that we're out there, it's better. So, I enjoy being on the practice field with him. I enjoy sitting on the sideline of the games, communicating with them. Being out there on the field with them in the games was great experience for us, and those are the things that we need to build on. Obviously, there's good things, there's bad things, there's mediocre things from all of our standpoints. So, we're working every day to try to kind of speed up the learning curve so that by the time the regular season starts, we are where we need to be.
Tom, I don't know if you know the answer to this question, but can we assume the Jets' passing attack isn't nearly as complex as the Patriots' passing attack? And the reason I say that, Plaxico's been out with an ankle injury for most of the practice time and has missed it, and yet performed very, very well last night on the stage. Is their offense less complex than yours?
I don't know their offense at all. I mean, I know their coordinator, and I'm not sure. I mean, I think that they're... every passing attack is different. There's no doubt about that. I think our style is very unique to the New England Patriots. The closest, obviously, would be St. Louis is doing with Josh as the coordinator. But I think that the Jets' offense is very different than our offense. Their style is very different. I don't know how they call their plays or what they do, so it's hard to speak to that.
Hey, Tom, when you were a kid and you went to the Niners games at Candlestick, did you ever fear for your life when they played the Raiders? I don't know if you followed it, but Saturday they had, like, shootings. A 24-year-old man who was wearing an F the Niners T-shirt was shot several times in the stomach. I think he's hanging on. He's hospitalized, obviously, but they say it's pretty scary out there these days. Was it like that when you were a season ticket holder?
No, I mean, it wasn't. Not at the 49ers games. Was that game in Oakland or was it there?
It was in Candlestick.
Yeah, I never, obviously, it was never like that. I don't think that's ever happened out there. So it's crazy. I mean, it's for a football game. And what happened with the Giants-Dodgers game, too, that was, pretty unfortunate. But it's, who knows why that stuff happened.
Is it the Raiders, Niners, that mix, that toxic mix that leads to this kind of thing, you think?
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of love lost between those two teams and being on the other side of the bay. I mean, it's a very different, it's a very different place. The East Bay and the San Francisco, greater San Francisco areas. I mean, there's heated rivalry, and if you like Oakland, you don't like the Niners. If you like the Niners, you don't like Oakland.
Right. Now, I'm guessing
with the Giants and the A's. I mean, the Giants.
Right.
I was a Giants fan. I hated the A's. But at the same time, the level of your, hate or frustration with the team. I mean, why that would ever lead to a gunfight or a shooting or a beating, and that's pretty crazy.
Do you ever wish you had a gun on you when you're out riding your bike with your kids and the photographers are chasing you around taking your picture? I have to say that we've said this to you before. You handle the paparazzi better than, it doesn't seem to bother you. You have never gone all Sean Penn on them, have you?
There's moments I've been very frustrated, but look, you can't do anything, because if you do, you just validate them, and then they know, they're going to be there whether you like it or not. And believe me, I wish there were some things just for your family, just to be a bit more private. And we try to be private, but at the same time, people are entitled, I guess, in this country to do what they want to do with cameras or video cameras. And it's just the way of the world lately. I think at some point people, move on from it. But, what we're dealing with now in our society is not that. Deal with it, and we try to, I try to just pretend like they're not there and just enjoy our day, because that's what we're there for.
And you're still not wearing a helmet. I guess I'll give you credit for that. You won't buckle under the pressure and put your helmet on. But look, watch some of the cell phone camera footage from the Niners game. And the Niners Raiders brawl. There's all these brawls.
Yeah.
There's a couple of different, but everyone's whipping out their phone. It used to be, they'd sit there and they'd maybe get, cheer or yell or call a cop. Now they just pull their phone out and say,
start shooting.
I'm going to put this on YouTube.
Yeah, for sure. Well, everyone's got them these days. So, the camera phones and the video cameras. I mean, those are every single person walking around has them now. So, when there's a fight, it's probably good to get it on, down on camera. So. It probably solves a lot of crimes, but if you got stuff to hide, then that's going to be a problem. If you're not hiding anything, then you just deal with it, move on.
I can't imagine all the people who pull their phones out when you ride by on your bike. It must be weird when you're riding in Boston on your bike. Is everyone pulling their cell phone out?
No, it's awesome. Where we live in the city, just to go on the Esplanade and to there's parks and. We went to the water park yesterday. I tried to go kayaking yesterday, but they didn't want to let the kids on the kayak. So we, just to be out there with our kids is really nice. And Boston, I love Boston. It's our home, and it's a great place. It's so much fun to be here this time of year, and to know that we're kind of on the eve of football season. There's nothing better going on for me. So it's. It's fun to be back.
Are you telling me they wouldn't let your kids on the Charles River in a kayak?
I know. I think there's you got to be a certain age. So, we're trying to go out there yesterday. Thank God we didn't, because the skies opened up at about noon, and it would have been pretty nasty to be out there. But it's fun to be out there on the Charles, although it's not the cleanest river I've ever seen, but. It's it's fun on a nice day.
Tom, I know a private place where there's no paparazzi, and you can take the kids kayaking if you want that arranged.
Where is that?
Well, I won't tell you on the air, but if Stacy can, we can make this arranged with Stacy. Very easy. Nobody would even know you were there. And you can take the kids out. All right, the quarterback question of the week, brought to you by Auto Trader. Now compare brand spanking new cars and special offers side-by-side at autotrader.com. I don't know if you've heard this, Tom, but we had PGA champion Keegan Bradley on last week. He said he has two sports fantasies he wants to fulfill. Number one, throw out the first pitch at Fenway Park, which we have arranged through Larry Lucchino. And the other was to play a round of golf with Tom Brady. Is that doable?
I tell you, he really must be bored. He must be bored wanting to play golf with me.
No.
It'd be dangerous for him.
He said the highlight of his life was your text. Yeah, you want to hear it, Tom?
Yeah, take a listen.
Keegan Bradley said, moments after winning a major.
Well, definitely the strangest thing that's happened to me was I got a text from Tom Brady congratulating me on my win for the PGA Championship, and trying to be not sound like a little kid, but he is my absolute hero from as long as I can remember, and it was about the coolest thing that's ever happened to me in my whole life, actually.
So he goes on to say he wants to play a round of golf with you, Tom. I know you'll probably play golf during the football season, correct?
No, not there for it. But after the season, it'd be my pleasure. Believe me, I need a lot of putting tips. So Keegan, he's in for a long day. It might be a 7-hour round because it'd be fun to be out there. That was what a great victory for him and a young player. And there's so many good young golfers. I mean, I love watching golf. So many good young golfers these days. I wish Tiger could get back in the mix, but you know he just makes it so much more fun for I think everybody for me to watch it, especially because with the level that he's played at in the past. Hopefully, he gets back there, and the young players push each other. But it's a fun time for golf right now.
All right, Tom. Good luck against the Lions. Keep your eyes peeled for that Sue guy.
Yeah, he's dangerous. Believe me, I saw some. They played the Bengals a few weeks ago, and the first play of the game, he knocked the guard back into the quarterback on a 5-step drop and hit him just as he was releasing it. So, Logan and Connolly have their work cut out this week. He's a hell of a player.
All right, Tom. We'll talk to you next Monday on Patriot Monday. Good luck.